Welcome, one and all, to the Shenanigans, Tomfoolery, and Debauchery podcast, where we share your stories of all of the questionable and incredibly entertaining decisions that you've made in life. Your tour guides for this amazing ride are me, Shit Show Shauna, and my partner in crime, the dazzling Diva. Now grab yourself a cold beverage, sit back, and celebrate the fact that you're not the only one out there making bad decisions. Now let's go. Double dee 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 double.
Hello.
Hey, Dumpy. What's
new? How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you?
I'm great. I just got back from a little short vacation. It was fabulous.
Okay, where'd you go?
I went to Miami, but I had an encounter on the plane when I was heading to Miami.
Yeah.
So I thought I scored a row to myself. And that's like winning the lottery.
It is. 100%.
Yes. So, of course, like these rude people always do, they come racing onto the plane right before the doors close. So, you know, everyone on there with the seat to themselves is like, you know, praying, close the doors, close the doors, close the doors. And, you know, it's a big letdown when someone comes racing on at the last minute. So they come racing on. It's a mother daughter, but I'm okay because they're smaller people. So I'm like, okay, if they happen to be on this row, we're okay. So they come, they're walking, they're looking at the seat numbers, and they go a little bit past, and I'm like, whew, good, not me. And then they back up, and I'm like, yeah, it's me. So they look, they're like, oh, okay. So then the mom's asking the daughter, like the teenage, late teenage, like, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, somewhere. She asks her, do you want middle? You want aisle? So the daughter says she wants aisle. So the mom was like, okay. So she takes her duffel bag and she like swings it over, puts it on the floor. And you know, I'm not sitting there like staring at them as they're being seated. I'm just, you know, casually looking around, taking in the atmosphere. So, but I can see her out the corner of my eye. She sits her duffel bag down and then she's putting her sweater on to get ready to get in her seat. And I look down at the duffel bag and I see the fucking devil staring back at me. Not a dog. It is a cat with the biggest eyes, the smallest little head. His eyes were bigger than his head and the smallest little tiny head and these huge saucer eyes and no hair.
And I was like, no,
what in the fuck is that? And I was like, oh. So I'm, you know, I'm trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to say I'm scared, but I am scared, but I am allergic to cats.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hey, you know, so I'm allergic to cats and, you know, so the lady was so super nice. So she was like, oh, well, he's hairless, but I get it. You know, some people still have, you know, whatever, whatever. And I was like, yeah. So then the flight attendant comes, I'll call her the young flight attendant. She comes and, you know, because I pressed the button and we're like, oh, so the lady, the cat owner was like, oh, she's allergic to cats. So the flight attendant's looking around and she's looking for an open seat. And then the older flight attendant comes and she's like, what's going on? So she looks, so the younger one said, oh, well, she's allergic to cats. So old one peers over the seat. And so she was like, he's hairless. Like with a real funky stank attitude. She was like, he's hairless. And so I just sat there and I just looked at her because, you know, you can't say anything or they'll take you to airport jail.
That's
and
right.
So I didn't want to, you know, get kicked off my flight.
Yeah. Nobody wants a body cavity search over a cat. Like, let's
exactly,
be real.
Exactly. Even a horrendous, terrible monster devil cat.
Hairless like no one, devil.
It's just not worth going to jail for. So I was just sitting there thinking and she was just like, and why does she have to be so rude? Like, he's hairless. And so I just said, hold your tongue, double D, hold your tongue. And, but I was thinking like, well, hey, my pussy is hairless too. Do you want to sit next to it?
Right.
So, but I didn't say that because I don't want to go. I don't want to go to jail.
Because it'll definitely make you itch and make your eyes swell. Let me tell you.
Exactly. So my flight got off to a bumpy start, but they changed my seat and then everybody was happy. Yay.
Oh my God.
And damn you, devil. Damn you.
I know. Hairless cats are really quite something. They are so, I mean, I love ugly animals. I really love animals. There's probably not, well, there are some animals I don't love, but generally speaking, I really love animals. But a hairless cat is something I don't understand.
Exactly.
They're creepy.
How do you snuggle with that? That's the whole point of having a pet, to cuddle. You can't cuddle just that skin. It's just skin. It's a bag of skin.
They look like gargoyles.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Creepy. No, thank you.
So yes, that was the start to my little getaway. But yeah.
Well, I have to say, as a cat owner, I cannot imagine traveling with a cat. That sounds terrible.
I thought they drug them.
They probably do. But you'd have to drug them for a pretty long time, which some say is somewhat cruel. I don't know. I've never done it. But yeah, that's...
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that is cruel. That's cruel.
Note to self, leave your pussy at home.
Leave your pussy at home.
That's right.
So...
Yeah. Well,
what have you been up to?
Well, I have to tell you, I have to give you a little bit of an update. So you remember in Shaky Shuffleboard Shauna, where I was showing you the gifts I had received in the mail.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Did you find out your secret secret gift sender?
So for the listeners who haven't listened to that episode yet, go ahead, go back and listen to it. But I got a an anal bleaching kit and a pubic hair dye kit in the mail. So I'm trying to figure out who sent these to me. So I'm trying to smoke them out. So I have a suspect in mind here. So this past week I went ahead and I sent her the Cooking with Semen recipe book. Okay. So it's 100 delicious recipes with semen.
I just had lunch. Don't make me gag.
I know. Well, Double D, I mean, what do you think's in that thing? Like, to me, I'm like, okay, you've probably got some soggy sandwiches in there.
It would just be a lot of soups and sauces. Soups
and sauces. Protein That's shakes. All it is. Yes. You know, there's protein shakes galore. There's a whole section of protein shakes. So that was my attempt this week. I promptly got a picture of it from said person. So they clearly knew who it was from right away, instantly. Yes. So, but it gave me no hint of whether that was actually the culprit or not. So I've got to up my game. But
you have to.
But I'll tell you what, I've got some things in mind. So you just hold on. I'll give you some updates as we move forward, and hopefully I can get an answer as to who truly sent me those goodies.
And I'm on the edge of my seat.
I know, as are our listeners, right? Everybody wants to know. But I was pretty proud of the...
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, and the Cooking with Semen, that book is hilarious. It's like the cover of it. Of course, it's off of Amazon, right? Everything's on Amazon. But it's like a whisk, and it's got like icing dripping off the top of the whisk, you know, which is, you know, so it's pretty awesome. You could pick up a copy for yourself, Double D.
And for Christmas gifts,
there you go. It redefines stuffing your stocking, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So that was this week. And then something else that happened this week.
Oh, you had a busy week.
Well, you know, I told you I started to kind of pay more attention and take notes about the things that happened during the course of the week so that we can discuss them, right?
Yes.
So I was reminded of something this week that came up on something that I saw. Do you know about Wojtek? It's spelled like Wojtek, so like Wojtek, but it was the bear in World War II. Have you heard about this?
The only bear I know is Smokey.
No, they're very different. So this bear was actually part of the 22nd Transport Company's Artillery Division in the Polish 2nd Corps in World War II.
Okay.
So Polish.
That's a mouthful.
I know it really was. I had to write it down because there was so much to it. So yeah. So this bear who fought alongside Polish troops in World War II, and he apparently picked up like a smoking habit and a drinking habit throughout all of his time in the military.
This sounds so familiar.
Okay. Well, it's actually a thing. You can go online and like check it out. It's crazy fucking bear. I'll tell you what. So yeah. Basically a pretty badass motherfucking bear is what I call this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say his name again.
Wojtek is how you pronounce it because it's Polish, right? Okay. So like I said, it looks like it would be like Wojtek, but it's apparently pronounced Wojtek.
Wojtek. Okay.
Yes.
I love
it. Yeah. So proper pronunciation, but yeah. it kind of made me laugh because recently we made a comment and I can't remember which episode it was on, but we made a comment about wanting some international stories. Right.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like, Wojtek, this, you know, Polish bear, he could tell us some great stories, I'm sure. So it kind of naturally, you know, the way things sometimes just come together on this podcast, Double D.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. It's serendipity a lot of times with us.
It is. Exactly.
Yes.
So this is no exception. So I have this story for you today.
Okay.
And it's an international story from somebody who is a U.S. individual, but who was on vacation in Poland, of all places.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to tell you a little bit about the backstory before I give you some of the details here. So our storyteller says, I went to Southwest Poland, a small ski town called Karpacz. Okay. And I had to Google how to pronounce all these things because Polish is not my language. I say everything with like a Spanish accent. It's just ridiculous.
I do too.
So a small ski town called Karpacz, 3 hours from Prague.
Okay.
So she went to attend a 5-day workshop with Wim Hof. Are you familiar with this guy?
No.
Okay.
Who are these people?
Okay.
I'm thinking this is another bear. I don't know.
Well, he might be a bear of another sort. So he's a Dutch motivational speaker and holder of multiple Guinness World Records for cold exposure.
Oh, okay? Wow. Okay.
So I wasn't terribly familiar with him before I got this story either. Since then, you know how it is. It's, what do they call it? The yellow car thing or the blue car thing. I've heard his name multiple times since then. This dude is a big deal. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So over several decades, Wim Hof.
He's the Polish Tony Robbins or something.
Well,
like
he's Dutch. He's Dutch.
Or the
they
Tony
were
Robbins.
Meeting. Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So
I like him already.
So over several decades, Wim Hof has developed and trained other people in a method of three elements to improve well-being and happiness. And those three elements are yogic breathing, cold exposure, and meditation.
Okay. All very doable.
Okay. Yeah. The cold exposure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So she says every year her brother, I'm going to read it as it's written because it's too hard to do it like third person. Every year, my brother and I do a personal development event. Okay. And I just have to stop there because I love this. I read that and I was like, what a fabulous family tradition.
Yeah, I
know. My only family tradition is to see how drunk we can get at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So every year her and her brother do this personal development event. And this year her suggestion was to do something that was a bit out there, she says.
Okay.
And the description
Spice
of
it
this.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. So the description of this event fits the bill. Here's the description for you.
Oh,
it's a quote unquote no agenda. To me, that says shit show. where we would be surprised by activities to test our abilities to get out of our comfort zone. Okay.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's too deep.
Yeah.
I can't spend my vacation going that deep. That's what my therapist is for.
So she says no details were provided except that they knew it would likely involve cold exposure and breathing exercises. As you would expect,
wow.
Wim Hof, that's his jam, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so Double D, when I got this story, you know, I started thinking to myself, I was like, what am I going to call this one? And the first thing that came to mind for me was a button on a fur coat, right? Like you think about when a dude jumps into the cold water and like, everything's button on a fur coat, right?
Shrinkage.
Yeah, yes. The shrinkage. And I was like, but here's the problem. That's very male specific, right? Like, why don't women have something that's equally as cool as a button on a fur coat? So it started me down this whole spiral of thought process around what is the female equivalent of a button on a fur coat?
We have to have one.
I mean, right? So I thought and thought. I really spent, you know how I am. I spent way too much time.
I can only imagine how much time.
So, of course, ultimately, I got to the point, well, the best we can do is that we're cutting glass, right? When the nippers are poking, we're cutting glass. And I was like, okay, but we can do better than that. Really? Cutting glass. That's it. That's all we've got.
Yeah. No. Well, we have smuggling raisins.
Smuggling raisins. True. Okay. Yeah. Well, so I went to my friendly neighborhood internet and here were some of the other things that I came up with. Well, I didn't come up with them. They were online. So here were some of the other, the interwebs and all of its splendor. Crab eyes.
Okay. That's
I thought
accurate.
That was hilarious. Hilarious. Strumpet berries.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Party hats, which I kind of like that one because I feel like that one you could be like, yeah, she's got her party hats on. It's time to go. She's ready to party.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the other one that I came across that I really liked was shark tits. And
shark tits, okay.
Shark tits, okay. So I liked it so much that our storyteller for this story, her name is going to be Shark Tits.
Okay.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear all about shark tits.
That's right. All right. So here we are. Shark Tits is in Poland with her brother. All right.
Okay.
So she says, on day one, we were assigned to quote unquote Team Purple. That was their team name. So it was one of 12 groups of 25 people. Okay. Doing the math on that, that's 300 people.
Oh my, that's a lot of...
That's a lot of people.
Out the box people. I won't call them like kooks, but definitely out the box.
Out the box. We'll call them out the box. So each of these 12 teams had two instructors with them.
Okay.
So our first day was a bit of orientation to the Wim Hof breathing method and getting to know each other a little bit, capped off by a group visit to some kiddie pools set up outside with ice-filled water. And she said, at this point, the air temperature was about 35 degrees Fahrenheit. Now for our international listeners, I know we've got some consistent listeners north of the border up in Canada and some other places. That's about two degrees Celsius. So yeah, it's cold is what I'm saying.
Holy smokes.
Okay. Yes. So they submerged in the water as a group, staying in it for 2 minutes, which 2 minutes doesn't seem like very long, but that's a long
two
time.
2 minutes. Is a long time to be sitting in a cup of ice water.
Yeah.
You know, that's a long a time.
Yeah. So button on a fur coat is definitely sitting next to shark tits. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So she said it was a nice way to create a sense of accomplishment in all of us and practice the breathing method of short inhale, long exhale. Okay, so it's designed, and this gets really technical here, Double D, designed to activate the parasympathetic part of our nervous system, central nervous system. So the rest and digest part of the central nervous system.
Okay.
So this... Exactly. You got it. Yes.
And you didn't... A quick study.
You didn't even have to sit in a kiddie pool of ice water to do that.
But now I'm qualified to do so because I have the breathing down. Yeah.
Okay. So on day two of the 5-day Wim Hof winter expedition, we did a waterfall jump into an ice cold, natural pool from about 22 feet. And she, Shark Tits provided a lot of pictures, so we'll definitely throw some of these up on our Instagram feed. So, so she said it was about 22 feet tall, which for me, in my mind, the way this works is I always picture height like in the number of Clarks, like, you know, Clark is just over 6 feet tall. So I'm like, so this is about like 3.5 Clarks is how high she came from.
Okay. That's not horrible. That's not, that's like, what is it, taller or shorter than a one story house? The jump, not Clark, the jump.
I would say, I mean, maybe probably a little taller, I would think.
I don't know. That's not
probably
horrible.
Not too different.
Yeah, I've jumped off of a one-story house. I mean, not lately, but, you know.
Oh, we haven't heard that story yet.
Yeah, it's coming.
Okay, teaser. All right, so Shark Tits says that the purpose of this was to have them confront a natural fear of heights and to conquer it, okay?
Okay.
So Shark Tits said in the past, she had jumped from about 12 feet into warm water many years before, so she knew that there was going to be a moment of, oh my God, I can't do this right before jumping. But she recognizes that there's definitely some personal growth value in pushing through this moment, right?
And Shark Tits is so self-aware. I admire her.
She is. She is 1,000%. Definitely. So Wim Hof himself was standing at the top to, she says, quote unquote, encourage us? Question mark.
What did his encouragement, what was his encouraging method?
Right.
Jump off the bridge or whatever.
This is like the old thing your parents used to say. Well, if everybody else was going to jump off of that rock, would you? Well, in this case, yes. Yes, you would.
Yes.
Yeah. So Wim Hof was the first to go in a group of about 60 of them. So Shark Tits was probably about number 20 or so in the queue, and they were instructed to not check up, okay, by whatever that means, when they got to the edge, right? So not to like freeze, I guess, which is funny in the context. But to commit to just doing it. So when they took off their jackets before climbing the stairs, to just go. When you get up there, like Nike would say, just do it, right?
Yes.
So she says, Shark Tits says that the day before and the morning of, they were trained to face this challenge with some simple breathing exercises, right? We just talked about those, that activates that parasympathetic part of your central nervous system, and told to focus internally. Okay. So focus on our heartbeats and on being present in the moment.
At what point do you focus on swimming? Like, you know?
So she said it was scary walking up to the ledge, but there's so much energy from the others around you, and I was just using the breathing exercises that we were taught. And she said, and I'd come all the way to Poland and wasn't about to not get my money's worth out of this.
Right. And I can imagine you're kind of just floating off the adrenaline of the other 60 people in your group. And just like, you know, you'll be so pumped, you know, caught up in the moment, mob mentality, you know.
Right. Oh, for sure. And it's crazy to think that she paid to do this, right?
Right.
She paid to someone money. Freeze her clam off.
Yeah.
Her and 299 other people.
Wow.
So when Shark Tits got to the ledge, she did as instructed. She looked down for 3 seconds to figure out where she'd land, and she went. She said someone was playing a drum and Wim Hof was yelling, "Do it!" So it was a little bit chaotic in the moment. I have to say, Double D, in this moment, I can't get the scene from Lord of the Flies out of my head.
Oh, like, right? Kill the pig, kill the pig.
Yes. I'm like, this is, but anyway, so as Shark Tits is falling, she thinks she hears him say, "Jump for the dark spot," which becomes highly relevant in the next 3 seconds of her life. So Shark Tits left foot hits the rock on the bottom as she landed in the water. So she says, "I felt pain from the impact, but the water was about 45 degrees, again, for our international folks, about 7 degrees Celsius. So it numbed up quickly. Yeah, that's so cold. That's like barely 10 degrees above freezing. That is so cold. Took your breath away, didn't it?
And like, how do you not just cramp up, like clench, like, you know, like seems like all your muscles would just cramp up from, the, you know, from the extreme change in temperature, you know?
Oh yeah. Your sphincter is definitely puckered in that moment. There's no two ways about it.
I didn't mean your sphincter. I meant your other muscles.
I think every muscle. Okay, so she's in the water. It's 45 degrees. She said it numbed up quickly and I couldn't tell how bad it was right away. Like we were just saying, yeah, the water took my breath away. And as soon as I came up for air, it was a survival situation to get enough air in my lungs and my wits about me to make the 20-foot swim to shore. So,
oh my gosh.
I know. I have goosebumps just thinking about how cold she must have been in this moment. So
I'm still with the foot pain. I'm still,
ouch.
And 20 feet, that's kind of a distance when you're cold, you're hurt, and you're.
And you can't breathe.
You know? and you can't breathe. Yes. Yeah. And you don't use your sphincter to swim. You need your other muscles.
Your jet propulsion.
Exactly.
So she says, within a few minutes out of the water, I realized my ankle was unstable and swelling up and I couldn't walk on it.
Oh my goodness.
My brother, along with other people from the group, helped me the 1 kilometer or 0.6 miles to us American folks down the trail to the bus. So luckily, there was a doctor from Poland in the group who looked at my ankle and recommended we go for x-rays. He was an absolute hero, took me to the hospital and waited with me for 3 hours to be seen and translated everything into English for me.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, what a nightmare. I mean, it's bad enough as it is, but then to not even be able to communicate.
Right, to have a language barrier, right.
Yeah, exactly. So the x-ray didn't show a fracture, but with the swelling, discoloration, and pain, they decided to put on a cast and recommended that I put no weight on it for 1 week. So this is a beautiful thing. The hospital didn't have any crutches, no crutches to sell or to loan her. So her new doctor friend arranged with the cab driver to buy some crutches the next morning and deliver them back to the hotel for them.
Oh, what a great guy.
I know, right? Oh. Super nice guy. This guy's building up some very good karma here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in the meantime, what does her brother do? What would we all do in this situation? You improvise with the luggage cart, of course.
Oh my goodness.
So that's
actually a good idea.
It is a good idea. And we've heard this before. Remember in Whiskey Princess? There's ringing some bells here, right? The luggage cart. So her brother used the luggage cart to get her to the room to change, to go get food, everything until they were able to get the crutches the next morning. So Shark Tits says that she learned in the following days that almost everyone felt the bottom of the lake on their jump, which says to me that the water wasn't deep enough for this activity.
Exactly.
Yeah. She said, I think I was the most injured, but many people were bruised, cut up, and I saw a guy with a really nasty broken toe. Yeah. So Shark Tits went to the organizers and she asked them to either stop the activity for the rest of the group. And if they wouldn't do that, then to give people safety instructions. Hello. And they said they wouldn't stop because, quote unquote, Wim loves the jump. That Wim. Yeah. But they did
Crazy
give people.
Dutchman.
I know. But they did give people in the future groups some safety instructions going forward.
Okay.
So she did some serious reflection, as we would expect, right? We know Shark Tits is very in touch with her internal persona.
Absolutely.
So she did some,
some
good reflection on this. And she wanted to point out the kindness of strangers is a beautiful thing. And the kindness of loved ones, i.e. her brother, is
her
precious.
Brother. Oh,
I know. I mean, seriously, the doctor and the brother, like shining stars in this.
Yes.
She says, we are fragile creatures, yet also strong and resilient. And then her last one here is, I think there is really something powerful in the combination of breath work, meditation, and cold exposure to create conditions of happiness and well-being. And I think Wim Hof himself is an egotistical jerk who did not properly care for the safety of the group.
Exactly.
Motherfucker.
fucking Dutchman.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, I asked her the lessons that she learned in this situation. And she said, you know, if you do enough dumb things, eventually your luck will run out.
Absolutely. That's a very good lesson. Very good point.
It is. And Double D, that's why we're here, right? We wait for those moments when that luck runs out.
And so we can hear all about it.
Yeah, exactly. And then jump for the dark spot, she said. And that just made me laugh because I'm like, there's so much that could be wrapped up in that one. It's like this like little innuendo of like, hey, jump for the dark spot.
Jump for the dark spot. Or jump for the dark wet spot.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, the dark dry spot is not going to do you any favors in this situation.
Right. I'm just wondering, how tall was Wilhelm?
Wilhelm? Wim Hof?
Same thing. Because he was the first to jump, right?
Yeah.
So he would have known that it wasn't deep enough. He would have known.
I don't know how tall he is. I didn't look at that.
Yeah.
So maybe he's a little person.
Oh, so maybe he had no clue it wasn't.
Right.
So it's not negligence. It's just, it was plenty of room for him.
Yeah.
He never touched the bottom.
Right.
You know,
or maybe he has a different jumping strategy. Maybe he does like a cannonball.
He does a cannonball. He brings the knees up. Okay,
yeah.
Well, maybe he should have told him that when you jump, get a running start and cannonball it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so see
absolutely.
How easy that was to avoid injury to your group.
Yes. And I have to say, Double D, something that I took away from this story, a big thing for me, is that anytime people listen to me, okay, anytime somebody pitches you a no agenda, all that means is that they don't have their shit together. Don't let them fool you like that. These people don't know what they're doing.
You know, I'm actually going to use that the next meeting at work that I'm responsible for running.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, hey, this is a no agenda meeting.
Yeah. I want to see how everybody can roll with it. And like,
Let's just fly by the seat of our pants and see what falls out, you know?
It falls out of your pants? That sounds like a different kind of meeting, Double D. I think you should bring in a kiddie pool and fill it with ice water.
And let everyone sit in it.
Yes.
Take turns sitting in the kiddie pool.
Yes, but don't let anybody jump off of the table in the conference room. No, that would end badly.
Exactly. Safety first.
Yeah. So I will tell you, Double D, this story, it just cracks me up on so many levels. Shark tits is hilarious. But I mean, I think we're learning some very clear lessons at this point in the accumulation of the stories that we're getting. And I think we can make it very clear that people need to not jump into things. Like, just don't.
No jumping.
Yeah.
No jumping.
No.
We learned that in kindergarten. No jumping.
Right. Stop, drop, and roll, people. Roll
right,
into
don't
the
jump. But don't jump. Oh my goodness.
Yes. So Double D, what would you tell Shark Tits at this point?
I would tell Shark Tits, I hope you have a good orthopedic surgeon. And I would also want to know, was the Polish doctor single? And also, where's her brother? Because he seems like he knows how to work a luggage cart.
Yeah.
And I'm interested.
Well, and obviously has a pretty solid sense of adventure, right?
Like, right. Oh, yeah. Open-minded, adventurous.
Yeah.
I'm here for all of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, bro, send your digits. You know
exactly.
Where to find us. Email us.
Right. Yeah. We'll take it.
Absolutely. All right, Double D. Well, that's my story for you today. That's all I got.
You have some fun folks in your circle. Like, they know how to have a good time.
That's right. They really do. That's what our listeners do, right?
Yes.
Fun people. So. All right, Double D. Well, I will look forward to hearing your story next week.
Oh, great, Shauna. Sounds good.
All right. Well, stay out of trouble. Well, don't stay out of trouble. Get into some trouble.
No, make trouble. Yeah.
Make trouble.
Make a lot of trouble.
That's better. All right. See you next week, my friend.
I'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Shenanigans, Tomfoolery, and Debauchery podcast. Make sure you follow our podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And this will ensure you don't miss out on any of the head-spinning STD madness. And also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at STD Podcast Story to make sure you get the full picture for each of our stories. Sometimes we get pictures to supplement our stories, and that's where you'll find them. You can also tweet us your thoughts about the stories at STD Podcast Story. And for the real heavyweights, if you'd like us to share your story, email it to us at stdpodcaststory@gmail.com. Extra cool points if you supplement your story with pictures. Now, get out there, do some stupid shit, and don't forget to tell us all about it.